It's 14 and a half minutes after noon. This is Ozarks at Large. The Bentonville Film Festival begins tonight. It's now in its fourth year, and there will be more than 100 films and documentaries screened at locations around downtown Bentonville. One of the documentaries was produced by recent Bentonville transplant Garrett Hubbard. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek about his work.
So you have a documentary at the Bentonville Film Festival. It's a short one. It's about less than 11 minutes. So tell us about that and how it all sort of unfolded that you were involved in this project.
I feel like ever since I began doing visual storytelling, it's all kind of been documentary, but it started with photojournalism. And then it moved into and evolved a little bit into video journalism and video storytelling. So it all was natural sound storytelling and getting out of the way and letting people tell their story. So I was doing that. But, you know, when you work for a newspaper, I was at USA Today before. And when you work for a newspaper, it's going to be a shorter piece. And so I did one at one point that was 10 minutes there and was part of a bigger project we did for Obama's inauguration in 2008. We did a doc called a full, you know, hour long doc, but it was many people involved called America's Journey leading up to his inauguration. So, and then now being out on my own, a lot of the projects I do with companies, not for profits, are like really mini documentaries, but maybe it's 2 minutes long or maybe it's 7 minutes long. So this one was more of a straight social justice, criminal justice reform documentary for the purpose of equipping activists hoping to rally against what's happening in Rikers Island Jail and to get the jail shut down ultimately.
So the documentary is called Rikers Island, Innocence Lost. Why Rikers Island in particular?
So I didn't know a lot about Rikers before this project. I lived in the Mid-Atlantic when I produced most of this, lived near D.C., so the Rikers Island Jail is in New York. If you've flown into LaGuardia, you have literally flown right over Rikers Island Jail. And it's literally an island probably less than the eighth of a mile from LaGuardia, from the runway. It's crazy. It's right there. But what you don't know about Rikers Island is how horrendous the conditions are. To have a jail that is isolated on an island like that affects everyone. So this project began, I've been working with a producer who's also in the journalism world, a writer for the Washington Post, an editor, and we've done numerous projects for the Post together. His name is Chris Jenkins, and he also lives in D.C., who will also be here for the film festival. He's flying in. But we have done numerous projects kind of in the space around the lives of Black men, of being Black in America. So we had done numerous stories that would dig deeper beyond the social norms, that would have this have a social justice purpose behind them. We went a series we'd worked on together called Brother Speak. We went right when Ferguson happened, we went and did a video there in our Brother Speak format, which is somewhat of a similar format of how we used Rikers, people dead center in the frame, talking to the audience, sharing their lives, sharing their story. So that's how we got started to it. And the person who hired us is someone who wanted to engage and further this conversation about the evils of Rikers Island Jail. There's numerous things at play here. You can't point the finger at one place. And it's complex on why Rikers is so much worse than other jails. But our documentary explores that a little bit, and it explores the lives of the people affected by it, by inmates, by their family members, by their mothers, and the impact of being at Rikers Island, how you can go in innocent. And in the eyes of the law, you are innocent when you go into a jail, but to survive in Rikers Island, you become guilty really fast. And that is what we wanted to expose, how the viciousness of life there forces people to change, to lose their innocence.
I've watched the documentary, and the most striking part of it to me was that most of these people are not convicted. They are awaiting trial, they're awaiting hearings, but in a lot of instances, they're there for weeks or months at a time while that's happening.
Yeah, I believe it's about 85% of the people on Rikers Island are still awaiting their day in court. New York State does not have a speedy trial law, so that exasperates some of the problem. of why they're there and why one of the mothers that we hear from in the film, her son was 6 years before getting his day in court. So I think that's something that I really want the people that see this film to walk away with, is to understand that these are worse than prison conditions, but these are people who are innocent. They have not been convicted. They have not been sentenced. They are waiting for their day in court.
So what can someone who watches this here in Arkansas and Bentonville take away from a place that a lot of people maybe don't even know about or just will never have an experience with?
I think there's going to be similarities across the criminal justice system in all places. So for me, I live in Bentonville, Arkansas, and I'm not going to interact with Rikers unless I go back up there. You know, I'm 1,000 miles away from it. So it is a much different experience. But I think what anyone who gets moved by the stories here, there are direct ways to get involved. There are so many different organizations in New York that are fighting the 10-year plan. There's currently a 10-year plan to get it shut down in 10 years. But anyone who's been to Rikers and people affected by Rikers are saying 10 years is too long. 10 years is going to be too many lives destroyed. So there's plenty of ways for people to partner with those organizations there.
The Bentonville Film Festival, sort of the overarching theme is women in film and diversity in film. How does the documentary kind of fit into that narrative of the overall festival?
Yeah, Bentonville Film Festival, as you said, is all about inclusion. And so the voices we have in our film are not voices that you often hear. You don't often hear the voices of the incarcerated, the formerly incarcerated, the parents of kids who have been incarcerated. So we have our cast. You can't say cast because it's a documentary, but the people that are telling their stories in the documentary, 40% of them are women. Our narrator, we were able to get the actress Olivia Wilde to narrate it, also a woman. So we feel like there's a lot of underrepresented groups within our film.
First festival for you also. I guess you don't have anything to compare it to, I suppose, but what are you sort of most excited about? What are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, this is my first film festival. And I'm just looking forward to seeing other people see this, other filmmakers, other people in this space see the film and see how they react to it. Being in Bentonville, I don't have a lot of peers, I feel like, in this space. So I think that'll be really fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they have brought, their vision in their films. I think, too, it's going to be really fun for the guy I produced it with, Chris, and I, to get to be there. Hopefully we'll have a Q&A and speak afterwards on our Friday screening. And for him to see Bentonville and him to know why I left D.C. to come to this place that I keep on raving about. So I think that'll be fun for him.
So this documentary is just shy of 11 minutes, but how much work actually go into a 11-minute documentary?
Yeah, to produce this 11-minute doc, we shot probably 14 hours of interviews, shot it all at 4K. So it was that's a lot of data. A lot of times that we rearranged stuff at this office in New York, and we were up there for three different times over a 6-month period. And as things changed on the ground, we had to go back and shoot more different news items. So that added a lot to it. But it was a lot of material to go through. But hopefully, we spent a lot of time. I really believe in blessed addition by subtraction. And so we definitely distilled it down to what we thought was the most compelling.
I imagine any documentary or film runs into its challenges through the course of the process. Did you guys deal with anything in particular that you sort of changed, I don't know, maybe changed your course?
Yeah, beyond the difficulties of flying out of LaGuardia and JFK, the biggest difficulty we faced was something I never expected while we're in post-production, while we pretty much had our final cut was done, I never expected for our film, a documentary, to be affected by the Me Too movement. So we end up taking out one of the people in our film because he was accused and we wanted to honor to honor the women who had accused him by taking him out, even though it sacrificed the quality of our work. And it's so frustrating to have this compelling piece. And I know what it was before we took this person out and how powerful it was. Other people may not know. But to have this, to be equipping people on the ground in criminal justice reform and have kind of a leg pulled out from under you is really frustrating. I think it's frustrating for everyone. But as a filmmaker, it's definitely frustrating to feel like my film, the quality of this story and the efficacy of this story and the intensity of the story was diminished a little bit because we had to take this person out. But ultimately, we felt like that's what we had to do to stand in alignment with all the women who became brave enough to stand up and say, this happened to me too.
How much work did it take to go back? Did you have to look through all everything you've collected, the interviews you've done, rewrite the script, I'm guessing?
Yeah, well, I mean, since it's people telling their stories, there's no script per se. But yeah, our narrative arc didn't really change, but so much changed. It was a 14 and a half minute film before, and now it's a almost 11 minute film. So a lot's been cut out. Our intro is completely different. Our closer is completely different. This person was kind of a cornerstone of the project. So things changed quite a bit. And so it was months of back and forth with my co-producer and with our client of looking at everything again and what did we miss and how can we make this still very effective tool.
So was this something you thought a lot about before you were involved in the Rikers Island project? Was criminal justice reform something that was on your mind?
I don't think criminal justice reform was at the forefront of my mind, but thankfully I grew up in a family where they cared about that, and my parents were heavily involved in different organizations that reached and equipped men in prison. So I had some exposure to that growing up, so I can thank my parents for that. But I think really beyond that, I think really my faith informs and steers me towards justice and social justice more than a desire for this particular issue.
You have not been incarcerated at Rikers Island, and neither has the co-producer. So what do you guys bring as sort of outsiders? How are you able to tell the stories, even though you, and that's the case for a lot of documentary and filmmakers, you know, they haven't necessarily gone through the experience they're portraying. So what guides, I guess, the process for you?
Any process when you want to tell a good story, it starts with trust and curiosity and empathy. And I think that is, empathy is one of my, I think, biggest gifts when I tell stories. That helps me connect with people because it does matter to me. And having not been there, we just want to get out of the way and let people tell their story. And by get out of the way, it's we're not trying to shape their answers. We're not trying to shape the whole direction. We know what we want to say, we think, from all the research that we've done, but we're not coaching people on how they have to say it or how they have to feel. That's real. That's authentic. And what you see in the film is real people's kind of their inner selves coming out.
Thank you for your time and telling us about your work.
You're very welcome.
Visual storyteller Garrett Hubbard speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek. His documentary, Rikers, Innocence Lost, will be screened twice this week. First tomorrow at noon during the shorts competition at the Walmart Museum, and again on Friday, also at the Walmart Museum at 10:45 a.m.